because we'll be your guide for this Jane's Walk. And he joins me now. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. What sparked your interest in these family-owned cafes from Saskatoon's past?
Well, I actually helped manage and contribute to a web page that our community, the Greek community, has been putting together to try and remember the people who came here back almost 100 years ago. And in the process of doing that, I thought there was enough here to actually make a Jane's Walk out of it. So I picked the five cafes that I actually remember as a child back in the 50s, although the owners that I'll be focusing on actually came to Canada back in the 1910, 1920s.
So this is taking us decades back. What memories do you have from your childhood about going to these cafes, experiencing them firsthand?
Well, my dad actually owned one, but not in the downtown area. It was in the Riversdale area. And I think the part that I remember best was this concept known as Coffee Row, a concept that's probably well known in rural Saskatchewan. Many people talk about going for coffee at the co-op or at the local cafe, where you did exactly as you said, catch up on the latest news, gossip, maybe get some information. It was kind of like a Facebook, Twitter kind of equivalent back,
yes.
Way back. But in the cities, they were actually different in the sense that they were probably faster than what we would call a fast food restaurant. Many people worked in offices where they had coffee breaks but no coffee machines in the place where they worked, so they had to actually leave their place of work, go to a cafe, drink their coffee, and head back within a very short period of time. And so they were noisy. They were familiar. Most people went to the same cafes all the time. The servers pretty well knew what you were going to order by the time when you walked in, and by the time you sat down at one of the counters with the swiveling chairs, you were probably already getting your coffee and maybe what you normally would eat. If at lunchtime, they might even know that you wanted the daily special. These were Greek restaurants, but they weren't serving Greek food. This was a meat and potato palette that people in Saskatchewan had at the time that I remember in the 50s.
Sure. Yeah, so much has changed in terms of people actually embracing their ethnic cuisine and sharing it with us in restaurants, but that was not the case then. I love this description of these swiveling chairs that people sit down on, and it reminds me that I'm guessing that the cafes were designed physically to sort of embrace the way that they were used.
Oh, yeah. The counter was not straight. It usually had a couple of bends in it so that you could be sitting on a single chair on your own, but you'd be facing somebody on the other side, and the server would come between you and serve you. It was an opportunity then to meet other people in the area. It was an opportunity to share ideas. And in fact, in some of the downtown cafes, the people that actually would go there regularly would be the reporters from the newspapers. This was a place where they got their stories.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there'd be some gossip that would get in the paper. It wasn't necessarily all the journalistic values
No.
that you embrace.
Yeah, there were gossip columns and there were people just giving their opinions and making its way into the news of the day, I guess, eh?
Right.
You've talked about the fact that your dad ran a restaurant, not downtown, but in Riversdale. I'm guessing that there was a lot of engagement between the people who ran the downtown cafes and folks like your dad.
There was a bit of competition. The downtown business area, which was basically in Saskatoon, it was 21st Street and 2nd Avenue. I think they thought themselves as being really the center of the downtown.
Yes.
Very vibrant. I mean, if you wanted to do anything that involved business of any type, you had to go downtown. The movie theaters were downtown. That was where the entertainment was. The main banks were downtown. Doctor's offices. I mean, everything kind of required that you go down there. They attracted a lot of people. In addition to the business, the people who were working in the offices, they attracted a lot of people to come downtown and then would essentially get their lunch or have some coffee. Some of the cafes actually had fortune tellers. They would
really?
Read teacups. Yeah. And that would attract the afternoon crowd. But the Red Riversdale people had a different kind of focus. They were viewed as perhaps a little rougher part of town, so they were very much involved in getting together and trying to figure out a way of making the place safer and attracting people to come to their businesses on the other side of the tracks.
So maybe that'll be a James walk for another year, focusing on those places,
right? Right.
But for this year, you are focused really strictly on this downtown core, five cafes in particular, all run by families. Can you introduce us to one or two of the families that you'll be talking about on the walk today?
Well, one name that would be very familiar in Saskatchewan would be the Golf family. And they started in Saskatoon in 1910. I contend that if they had the show Dragon's Den back then, the Gall family would be on that show, but not as participants, but rather as dragons.
Ah.
They seem to be ahead of the curve when it came to figure out where the new markets for serving the public in Saskatoon. They opened the first, what they called, electric bakery. In addition to their cafe, the electric bakery meant that they baked their bread in an electric oven rather than using steam heat. They also had a factory, and that's probably the reason why they came to Saskatoon in 1910. It was a factory that made chocolates and candies, and they shipped all over Saskatchewan and in through to the other provinces too, and had a business where they would arrange during World War I for families to send chocolates to the soldiers out in Europe. By 1927, they had not only the bakery, they had a pastry shop, they had a flower shop, a fruit store, and then they had the main operation, the cafe, which was called Golf's Chocolate Shop. The interesting part about that is that this family has still got a legacy today, and a lot of businesses still exist through their sons that opened, for example, in Saskatoon, the Golf's restaurant, which, of course, they also opened in Regina, although they don't own the Regina's Golf's, but they opened it there. Bartleby's in Regina was also the Golf family.
Oh, wow.
And here, of course, there's Fuddruckers and the Dog and Suds. Those would be names would be well known. And they were part of the Golf family. So that's one of the families I'll be identifying. The other one that I would mention would be the Commodore, the Lekas family, very well known in Saskatchewan because the Lekases were great supporters of the baseball community. The Saskatoon Commodores was one of the teams that they financed, and in fact, one of the sons, actually was the coach of the team. A lot of sports people would remember the Commodore as also the place for Coffee Row. If you wanted to talk sports, that's where you went.
Okay. Do you think a lot of these Coffee Rows were mainly guys getting together on their little coffee breaks, or was there...
Well, I have a photo of a Coffee Row at one of the other restaurants, the Elite, and everybody in there is a male.
Yes. That's what I'm imagining. Truthfully, in small-town Saskatchewan now, I'm guessing that's still very much the same with Coffee Rows, mainly guys getting together for a chat, eh?
Yeah. I think the difference between a city Coffee Row and at least at that time, and a rural Coffee Row was that you could linger in the rural ones,
sure.
But in Saskatoon, the big city ones, it was about turning people through the restaurant as quickly as you could.
They're saying, we'll give you a space, but not for too long because we need room for the next wave. Absolutely.
The minute they served you, the bill was put right on the table. And there was a dedicated cashier who was at the cash, and so you didn't have to wait to figure out where your bill was coming from. It was there, and you knew exactly where you had to go to pay because the person was waiting for you.
Okay, well, it's a very efficient model if you're in a hurry.
Yep.
You must have had so much fun doing all this research, bringing all these stories alive. How has it transformed the way you look at downtown Saskatoon today?
You walk downtown and you realize how downtowns have changed. You know, so many things that were integrated, whether it was the movie theaters, you went to the movies, and at night after the movie was finished, you'd go to one of the cafes for coffee or a sundae or pastry. That kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. We just don't have the movie theaters downtown like they were then.
Yeah.
And, of course, back in the 20s and 30s, that's where they got their news. in terms of the newsreels that were played there. So people went to the movies quite often. And, of course, the department stores are not there anymore, and that's made a change. So I think that's the part, and you noticed it. One of the important points that I talk about is when in Saskatoon the railway tracks were taken out and Midtown Plaza was built and how that changed the traffic patterns in terms of pedestrian traffic.
Yeah.
Two of the restaurants that were very, very popular and very successful actually closed a year after Midtown Plaza opened.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
How do you feel the ghosts of these cafes as you walk through that landscape today?
Well, I also remember what they became. I mean, they were mentors for a lot of restaurant owners that would open restaurants later and still run them today, either they themselves or their children now. It's years are going by. For many initial people coming here, immigrants coming here, English was not their language. They started off in the kitchens. They could arrive on one day, and the next day they were immediately employed washing dishes or cleaning up and prepping for the chefs. So it was an immediate job, but they also were learning on the job. They were watching how these restaurants were operating. Many of them in the 1920s did not come for their own well-being, but rather they were sent here to earn money to send back to their parents and siblings back in Greece. So the remittances were very important. So they became hardworking, and they realized that if they didn't earn this income, they couldn't send it back, and their families back in Greece, in this case, would not be able to eat. This was an important learning and mentoring place. So many people came out of that, out of those restaurants, and you see the legacy in terms of the restaurants that exist now, and you'll hear people talk, even the retired people talk, well, I started off as a dishwasher. They take a great deal of pride in how they worked up from that, those meager beginnings, to actually own a business.
So you're going to be spending an hour and a half this morning, starting at 10, leading people through these stories from the past. How do you hope the stories you share on this Jane's Walk give walkers a deepened understanding of the city's history?
The one thing that is a challenge is that none of them exist in a physical sense now.
Yeah.
They're either parking lots or they've been torn down and something else is in its place.
Yeah.
So talking about the restaurant and what it looked like is not really going to be my focus. I want to talk about the families.
Sure.
And particularly the community that was created among these families. They were competitors. There's no doubt about that. But they also were part of a community that was bound together by relationships. They might have married the sister of their competitor, or they shared the fact that they came from the same village, or they just the experiences they had of coming here, not knowing English, not having very much money in their pocket, and all trying to support a family back home. And so that's a common experience that they had. And I hope that people come out of it seeing how this one group within our city, for me, it's a Greek community, and what they were able to do in the community here, building our downtown, and also all the different things they supported, whether it was sports or they were highly supportive of the university. They were impressed by the fact that access for their children to go to the university here was a lot more open than it was in Greece. I mean, if you worked hard and you got good marks and you could raise the money for your tuition, you could go to university. That was not the possibility back then, back for them at home.
Yeah, so many changes, so many challenges, but also opportunities in this new country for them.
Right.
Yeah. Ken, I think it'll be a fascinating walk. I'm only sorry I'm in Regina and can't join you this morning. Thank you for giving us a little sneak peek, though, with this conversation.
Well, thanks a lot, Shanna.
Ken Ponticus is leading a Jane's Walk through five legendary family-owned downtown cafes today in Saskatoon. The free walk begins at 10 o'clock this morning at the Barney Cuts Pocket Park on 21st Street East between 1st and 2nd Avenues. To learn more about this and other walks going on all weekend, head to janeswalkyxe.org.